Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Later on in this hour, we're going to talk with the commissioner of the CIF Southern Section. That's Rob Weigott. It'll be good to hear his thoughts on things going on in the world of prep sports. To kick off the show, though, we're going to talk with the head baseball coach out of St. John Bosco High School, Don Barbara. He's got a curious story of how he got from a professional baseball player to coaching now one of the top teams in all of Southern California. Coach, thanks for making a couple minutes for us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, let's talk some Braves baseball. It's been quite a start to your season so far. You guys are humming right along. What's been going right for the Bosco Braves so far this baseball season?
Pretty much everything so far. I mean, kids,
it looks that way, yeah.
The kids have done a great job. You know, when I took this program over going into my third year this year, we knew we had to make some adjustments. I told my coaching staff from the lower levels on that we have to make some adjustments and, you know, and do some different things. And you know what? The kids who have been in the program for now, going on their third year with me, they have bought in the way, you know, the freshman coach works, the JV coach works, the way I work, and, you know, and it's carried over, you know. And this year we got a group of kids that have been together for a couple of years, especially last year when they were younger, and they kind of got their butts kicked a little bit, but they got the experience. They got to look at what the training league's really about and how competitive it is, and they have really, really done a great job. I mean, both on, off the field, and I'm proud of them. I can't say much about them. But we still got 9 games to go and to get through this gauntlet of a league and see where we're at from there.
Yeah, you're not kidding when you say gauntlet of a league. It's not for the faint of heart, certainly, Trinity League Baseball. With a 5-1 mark at this point, right, you're doing something right. Just to explain to everybody just how difficult this league is, it, top to bottom, this has got to be the best baseball league, I would think, maybe in the nation.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you're dealing with teams like Orange Lutheran, the good thing is you play them 3 times in a week. I mean, it's tough. It really is. But you find out a lot about each other. So we started out with Modern Day and Bosco. When we got into this league in I believe it was 2006. We never beat Modern Day and Orange Blue. We haven't done that like we did this year. You know, so I don't really believe that the kids believe that they can beat them. But we got that first taste of playing a top ranked team in Modern Day, and then we came back. We had some energy, and we had to come back with the number one team in the country at the time with Orange Blue. And we still have to face Jay Sarah, who's a really good team and always in the national limelight, Santa Margarita, and Servine. And they're all good teams, all good players. And, you know, I think our players have finally figured out, kind of like what Coach Negro did with our football team, has changed the culture around here in the sense of, hey, we can beat these teams. We're good enough. You just got to believe. And I think once we did that, and I think, you know, looking at everything that Modern Day and Orange Lutheran are really good, that our guys kind of gained some confidence in here.
When you look at the schedule, there's no soft spot on the schedule at all when you're a Trinity League school. You talk about a culture change coming in, and so much of that starts because of the school you're at. St. John Bosco is such a nationally renowned school, not just athletically, but academically as well. And I got to imagine the support that you get from your higher-ups makes all the difference in the world to you.
It does. You know, you talk about the academic side of it, and I believe in the academic side of it, because you can't go to college if you don't do your academics. I don't care if you're a stud athlete. But our team did a great job. You know, we had 25 guys, and we ended up with a 3.3 GPA, team GPA, last semester, and we're hopefully going to be better than that. The principal and the vice principal and the athletic director, they give me so much support here. I mean, this is a phenomenal place to coach, you know, when it comes to my players. And I deal with what we have and how we go about it. We try and go raise as much money as we can. But if I needed something and I can go out and get it, they're very supportive of what I'm doing here. And they're very supportive, you know, with the way I handle the program, which has been outstanding. They just kind of let me go and stay within the parameters of what they want. And we do it, and it works well for us.
Don Barber joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. You mentioned Coach Negro, you know, the football team. Obviously, that program has gone to national heights. We know the basketball team has had great runs over the years. You know, does that help when baseball players say, hey, I want to be at that level too, and then maybe it makes them work that much harder because, you know, their buddies on the football and basketball team, maybe some of the other teams are having that kind of success as well?
I believe so. I mean, our guys have always talked about it, you know, and they hear it, oh, we want to do this. We want to win the training league. And I just tell them, I go, hey, they did something because Coach Negro came in and changed the things they needed to do, changed the culture, changed the attitude, and they went out and did it. And I had Coach Negro come in and talk to my players this year, not once, but twice, just about what are some of the things that he did. What did he get his players to buy into? Because my first 2 years here was kind of a struggle, you know, with guys trying to buy in. But this team has really bought in to everything we're trying to do. And with Coach Nagler's help and talking about the culture change he had to make, you know, with St. John Bosco, of understanding Mother Day, we can beat Mother Day. We can beat J. Sarah. We can beat Servite. We can beat all these teams. And now look at them. I mean, they're a national powerhouse. Well, those are some of the things that we're trying to do here. And our kids are now finally believing. And I owe a lot of credit to Coach Nagler for talking to our team because, you know what? He was a player here as a baseball player. He was a football player here. You know, he's been around this program for many, many years. So having him right there was awesome, you know, and our kids being able to listen to him on how he did it.
It's so true. And Jason Negro is a baseball legend at Bosco.
Yes, he is. He played third base next to Nomar Garciaparra.
Right.
I think that's his legend.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Everybody thinks of him as a football guy, but all of us remember him as a baseball guy back in the day, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
When the season started, you know, a month ago or so, you know, there were probably seven or eight teams just right here in Southern California that were nationally ranked, you know, for whatever the national rankings are worth in high school sports. Yeah. But Bosco was not one of those teams. Do you feel like your team is maybe starting to get a little bit of that respect now and maybe starting to inch up into the conversation?
I think so. I think a lot of people are talking about us. I mean, I knew, me personally, and I told some guys, I said, I knew we were going to be pretty good. I knew what we had on the mound. I knew what we had coming in because I had three of my four starters since they were sophomores. And they pitched for me all the time as sophomores and juniors. And I knew this was going to be the year. You know, my big concern was the offensive side of it. And we would go out in the fall and winter and play teams, and we'd win 2-1, and we'd lose 3-2 or whatever, you know. And people were always talking, well, Bosco's got the arms, and they're going to be okay, but they got a hit. Well, now all of a sudden our team's hitting 350 as a team. Well, that came around, and it's got us 18 wins, and now we're getting – we were, what, I think we were 18 in the USA Today. We were 19 in Max Preps. You know, it's great for them to see, and, you know, and people are talking, and there's a lot of excitement around campus, too, which is great. We get a lot more fans. They're lining up down the lines, and it's great. It's good for the school.
Right, and a three-game sweep of Orange Lutheran and taking 2 of 3 from Mater Dei is going to do that, right? I mean, you guys have got to be just as confident as can be right now.
You know, we are. But, you know, like I tell them, I got to keep them grounded. They, you know, I was just telling a guy who comes in and speaks to my team, a guy named Ken Raviza, a sports psychologist who's with the Cubs. You know, I try to tell him today because he wants to come back out and talk to him. I go, I don't know. I don't know what to say. These kids haven't been in this situation. They're winning the Trinity League, for God's sake, you know. And it's like, how do I keep them grounded? How do I, you know, not let them read all the press and read that? And we just start talking. And the big thing is as long as we can play our game, it doesn't matter who we're playing on the other side. It doesn't matter what name they have on their jersey. St. John Bosco has to play Bosco baseball and not play the other team. And if we can do that, we're going to continue playing our style of ball. And it's been successful this year. So, you know, next year could be a whole different thing because we're going to have a lot of new guys next year. But for this year, we just got to do what we need, that we've been doing. You know, I think getting beat on Saturday for the first time in 10 or 11 games was a good thing for us, just in the sense it kind of woke us up a little bit and say, hey, come on now. We got to get back to how we were doing, because we didn't really play very well, and I think we kind of lost our edge a little bit, but I think it woke them up, and, you know, we're going to have a practice today and get ready for Santa Margarita, who's another good team, and see how we do against them for the next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Don Barber joining us, the head baseball coach at St. John Bosco High School. You talk about going into your third year in this job, your first high school job, correct?
Yeah, I was 17 years in college.
Right, up at University of Pacific. Talking about all the great coaches that are in the Trinity League, how much fun is it for you to be able to pit strategy against the, you know, Burt Call and guys like that that have been in the Trinity for a lot of years?
It's great. The coaches in our league are fantastic. We sit there and talk, and we'll go and, you know, we have our meetings, and we all get along. I love coaching against Eric Borba, you know, at Orange Lou. I love coaching against, Brett Kay and yeah. David Bacani. I mean, those guys, I'm probably not that much older than them, but I'm older than them, and it's just, of course, Kay and Bacani I like to beat because they're Cal State Fullerton guys. So that's, you know, hopefully at one point in time we can do that. The coaches in this league are fantastic. Bert's awesome. He's been around a long time. Coach Borba and Sean Gilbert, who I've known since pro ball. And, you know, we just have a great camaraderie and we love competing against each other. But you know what? After the game, it's a handshake and it's a great job. And you keep those friendships for a long time. And, you know, and then after the season, you just talk and, hey, what'd you think or whatever. And you get to do things like that. And it's fun. It's really fun.
Obviously, in any sport, you don't want to look too far ahead at any point. Certainly in baseball, it's the same way as well. But this is obviously a team that can win the Trinity. Is this a team that's built to make a deep postseason run?
I believe so. I believe that because of our pitching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, we got seven guys that can go. We got three phenomenal starters, starting with John Beller to Nick Morales and John Kuhn. And, you know, I've had a guy who was supposed to be my number one who was injured who's coming back. His name's Carlos Lamelli. And then with the bullpen, you know, with Isaiah Horton and the other guys that we have, they all do their job and they're strike throwers. I mean, we've played 21, 22 games and we got a 1.3 ERA as a team. And that has been our solid ground. I think we have enough depth and I have enough trust in each and every one of our guys that I put on the mound.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports View. We're visiting with Don Barbara, the baseball coach out at St. John Bosco High School. More with Coach Barbara when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson, and joining us this week is Don Barbara. He's the head baseball coach at St. John Bosco High School, leading the Trinity League. Some people out there might be surprised, but those in the know how good this Bosco Braves baseball team has been this season. And as we just talked about with Coach, they're built for the long haul. It's a fun ride when you're on a winning baseball team, right? You know all too well in your playing days.
Oh, yeah. It is fun. And I think the kids are feeling it, too. They're more relaxed. Somebody, when we were playing Orange Lou, or one of the TV channels who does Orange Lou games, I said, hey, my team's goofy. They're just goofy. And I'm not going to change them because that's just who they are. It's fun for them, and they're excited. And I let them be who they are and play the way they want in the sense of, you know, staying within our parameters, Bosco. But they're having a blast, and our coaching staff is having a blast. So it is fun.
Right. It looks like it's so much fun. And winning is always the thing. And you mentioned your team is goofy, and this is coming from an original dirtbag out of Long Beach State, out of Long Beach State University. For those not familiar, the Long Beach State 49er baseball team, affectionately given the nickname the Dirtbags. Boy, 25, almost 30 years ago now, when Don, you were an All-American on that team in the early 90s right there, I think 1990.
Yeah. 1989, I was on the original team, and it was something special.
Kind of go back down memory lane for us a little bit. Give us a sense of what Long Beach State baseball was like in those days.
Like you said, it was 25, 30 years ago.
Are we that old?
Oh, my God. No, to be honest with you, it's probably the greatest time of my life. You know, I played 8 years of minor league ball, but nothing beat that 89 team. It was absolutely incredible. I mean, the adversity that team had to go through, I mean, not having a home field, practicing on a pony field next to campus, taking ground balls in a parking lot. I mean, there were so many things that people don't really, really understand about that team. And what Coach Snow did in getting these guys together, because he took over the job, I want to say, in July, and he had like a month and a half, 2 months before school started to get a team. And you're talking about a bunch of players. If they're not committed by July, let's go. I mean, how is that happening? You know, he just took a lot of guys that he felt that were out there, and and put him together. And, you know, he had a philosophy. He had a plan of what he wanted to do. I mean, the guy was a coach of the year in 1986, I believe, at Loyola Marymount. And, you know, it was just one of those things that you bought into. You bought into that man. And, you know, and that's some of the things I try and do here. I try and do a lot of my coaching. I mean, and he was at my game. He was at the game on Saturday, and I showed him my practice plans and my game sheet. It's the same ones he used. He goes, Herman, those are old. I go, yeah, but they work. Why am I going to ruin something that worked for you for so many years? Why am I going to change it? He goes, good point. So it was just a special moment. And with Dave and the staff, I try and carry as much as I can and carry him with me as much as I can all the time. And everything I've learned throughout my playing career, I played the way I played because of him. I coached the way I coached because of him. And it's a great thing. And, you know, now look at the Dirtbags. They're back up there again. They're having a great year. Coach Buckley's doing a great job. But those two special years in 1989 and 1990 with those guys were great. And we still keep in touch and still keep in contact. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really the building blocks of the program. Obviously, we know the Longorias and the Weavers that have come through since then and the heights that this program, you know, has reached. But I got to think for you and for that group of guys, you'll always have that special knowledge that you really helped lay the building blocks, you know, for what we see today.
Oh, yeah, we do. You know, every now and then, like last year, I went in and was able to talk to Coach Buckley and his players. And, you know, he asked, and it was awesome. And my third base coach, my associate head coach, is a guy named Scott Talanoa, who also played on the 1990 team with me. So it's great to have him coaching with me and having him here with me because he's like my best friend and he understands. So we got a lot of knowledge of baseball with him and myself and, you know, who went to Long Beach. So we both always talk, and it's really scary at times because he'll say something I was about ready to say it, or I'll say something, and he's like, right? And it's like, we're just always on the same page together with each other. And, you know, I think that all comes from Dave. It's just how we think and how we're basically, we're robots of Dave Snow, and I love it, you know,
right,
in a sense.
Don Barber joining us here on Catholic Sports View, the head baseball coach at St. John Bosco High School. Drafted in the 24th round by the Angels in the 1990 amateur draft. You mentioned 8 years in the minor leagues. Started in Palm Springs. If people remember, Palm Springs was the place the Angels had their single-A team back a few years ago. And then it ended for you, your minor league career, and in Long Beach, of all places. What was professional baseball like for you?
Oh, it was a great time. You know, there was some ups and downs. Great years, and I put a stop to it in 97, whatever. I got two offers to go and play, and I just turned it down. I just felt that I needed to go back to school. I wanted to finish my education, and it just so happened that I got a phone call from Coach Snow, and he said, come and coach with me. I said, okay. He goes, you got to finish school. I said, okay. So that's what I did. But professional baseball, you know, you learn so much. You meet so many great guys. Baseball is a fraternity. I mean, just a huge fraternity.
Yeah.
And, you know, in those 7-8 years, it was just a great time. Seeing different towns, going to different states, you know, traveling. But when I got to 97, I knew it was just decided no more. Enough is enough. I didn't want to be Crash Davis. And I just decided to retire. I hold no grudges. I mean, I had a great career. Hit .313, I think, for my career. And had good numbers, and it was fine for me. I was able to walk away and say, you know what? I did what I was supposed to do and just wasn't good enough for, you know, whoever. But no sour faces or anything like that, because I look now, I got a wife, I got two kids, and I got a great job, and I get to work with great kids every day.
So
worth it.
Yeah, a lot of blessings in your life, certainly, it sounds like. Was it a natural for you to go into coaching? I mean, you said you got a call from Coach Snow. Had you thought about it before, or was it all of a sudden something that just presented itself and you thought, hey, yeah, why not? Let's do this.
You know what? I did, but I never really thought about it. I kind of got scared because I think in 97, they were, I think it was Wichita or Texas. They were in the regional, or maybe it was, I think they were down at LSU in the regional. And I get a phone call from Dave Snow, and I'm going, okay, I know he's like my second dad, but what did I do? He's in the middle of a regional. Why is he calling me? And so I called back scared to death, You know, and I haven't thought about going back to coach at Long Beach State yet because they still have their coaches and whatever. And so I left a message, and he calls me back, and I'm kind of like, hello, you know, just really nervous. Like, I did something wrong. What did I do, coach, you know? Because I always talk to him, and I know him. I mean, why is he calling me? But he goes, hey, I need to meet with you when we get back. I said, okay. So that was another 3 days that I had to sit there and stew and go, what did I do? I'm sitting there talking to my wife. What did I do? Did I do something? <She's> going, <"What?"> So we finally met. He goes, hey, I want you to come coach with me. And it was just a natural thing. Okay. And I was actually running a business at the time with my uncle. He and I had a business. And I just, once I got that, I told my uncle, and I said, hey, it's all yours. I'm going back to school, and I'm going to go coach baseball at Long Beach State.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's what I did.
It's really been, you know, quite a journey for you. As I mentioned, UOP was the next stop there. Did you ever think high school baseball was on the radar, or was that just another opportunity that sort of presented itself at some point?
Mm-hmm. No, in 2014, it was time to make a change. And, you know, I have two kids, like I said. One is now 17, the other one will be 16 in this September. And, you know, I was the recruiting coordinator, and I was missing everything. I really was, and it was time for a change, you know, not being home. I remember being on the road in June and July. I'd average about 6 to 10 days a month in my bed in those months. October, I was gone every weekend, and then baseball season starts, and you're on the road. I'm missing all their softball tournaments, all their soccer tournaments, and I'm going, okay. And then this popped up, and at the same time, Servite popped up, and I'm going, okay. You know, somebody called me about the Bosco job, and I'm going, geez. I know some guys who went to Bosco, Derek Valenzuela and Nomar and Evan. And, you know, I'm going to call them and see if they could talk to somebody. So I called them and found out some information. And, you know, my brother went to Servite in 83. I go, that would be kind of cool too, you know. And, you know, to go back and coach with my brother, because all the guys he graduated with in 83, they're like my older brothers. They were on that powerhouse of a football team they had that year.
Right.
With Steve Berline and everybody. So I applied for that one, too, and I just looked at it, and I even talked to my wife. I said, hey, I could be home in the summers. I can travel with the kids. I'm going to have a little more free time. Do what you want. So I'm sitting at my daughter's eighth grade promotion and up in Stockton, and I get a phone call from Monty. Hey, can you be down here tomorrow? I got in my car, and I drove down here and did an interview and went back home. I said, I think I did okay. And I called Servite because Servite, my brother, you know, and they go, oh, we're not going to do anything till July. I said, okay. So Bosco offered me the job, and I took it, and probably the best thing I did. Now I get to see my daughter's practice. I get to see my daughter's games. You know, my one daughter plays soccer. She's at Wilson High School, and she plays travel soccer. My other daughter at St. Joseph, which is our sister school, plays softball there, and she plays travel softball, and she's committed to Ole Miss already. So she's going to go play softball in about 3 years at
wow.
Ole Miss.
It looks like it runs in the family.
Yeah. I just tell her I keep on using her so I can get the free football tickets. She doesn't grasp that yet. No, but it's been a kind of a whirlwind. We got to move back home to Long Beach. My wife and I always felt this is where we met, and this is always our home. And we actually, when we left in 2005 to when we moved back in 2014, we moved 8 houses up from our old house. We got our old phone number back. I said, hey, do you have this phone number? And they go, not that anybody has phones in their house anymore,
right.
I think. But I go, hey, do you have this? They go, yeah. And do we have it? They go, yeah. It was the same phone number and same street, just 8 houses up.
It's all meant to be.
Yeah, that's what I told my wife.
Coach, we want to thank you for taking the time out, and wish you luck the rest of the way.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. That's Don Barbara. He's the head baseball coach at St. John Bosco High School. They lead the Trinity League right now. We'll have more on Catholic Sports View when we come back. Stay with us right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. We are honored to have the commissioner of the CIF Southern Section, and that is Rob Weigod, Commissioner. Thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
You're welcome, Bob. Nice to talk with you.
The first thing was I was doing some research into your career, and you've been in athletics for many years here in the Southern California area, but I wanted to go to a quote that I read in a story that you said a while back, and you said, "We are in the business of making memories," and I thought, you know, what a cool thing for a commissioner to kind of say, and there really isn't that what it's all about for the kids that you oversee in the CIF that are playing athletics, that you want them to go away with good memories in their careers.
Absolutely, no question about that, because, you know, again, we really believe that the high school athletic experience is that classroom for life, and what these student athletes go through and experiences that they have, being exposed to the great teacher coaches and administrators and the folks we have out there that lead our schools, you know, that these are the memories for their lives and these are the lessons for their lives, and that, you know, they're going to go forward from the time they've spent in high school and as student athletes and really help them, you know, for their future as adults. And so we're dedicated to that. That's our primary purpose and focus. So, you know, it's true. I mean, we make memories, and that's maybe the greatest part of what we get to do.
You're in the middle of your sixth year now as the commissioner.
Correct.
Do you feel like you're settled in to the job?
Oh, certainly. It's much more comfortable than my first year or second year even. It's, you know, I was an assistant commissioner here for 11 years. It was a part of a lot of things that happened and a lot of things that I learned and was able to grow. But there's still, you know, there's no real substitute for sitting in the chair. And so when you do, you know, you just don't have the precedents or the previous situations and scenarios that may have happened when you were the commissioner, you know. But after 2, 3, 4 years, you know, then those become some of your foundation going forward, you know, some of the things that you know you can draw upon experiences, and it certainly does make you feel more comfortable.
You know, it's obviously a huge job. You've got by far the biggest section in the state of California, upwards of almost 600 schools. How easy or how hard is it to oversee a section that stretches, you know, so far and wide?
I think my first thought, you know, I don't know any different. I mean, I grew up as a student athlete in the Southern Section, and all my work as a teacher and coach and athletic director was at Southern Section schools. And of course, now being an assistant commissioner and commissioner here, all my experiences with the Southern Section. So I don't know any different. We're very proud of that. I think we're very proud of the competition that we offer. I think we're really proud of our diversity and all the different opportunities that we can offer. And then I guess I would offer this. In many ways, it's easier to communicate with people now than it was 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, the distances that stretched, you know, our section from far and wide, you know, I'm much more in touch with, I think, our schools, you know, all over than I think my predecessors were, you know, 25 years ago. So, you know, like I said, in many respects, technology and the ability to communicate may makes our section a little smaller.
Your office sits in Orange County, of course, in Los Alamitos. How much fun is it for you to get out to areas like Boron or Phelan or some of these areas that maybe people, in some cases, may not even have heard of?
Well, and that's the point. I think, you know, when you're in a position like this, I mean, the ability to meet people and to see so many great people doing great things for kids in all these other places as well. I mean, being a Long Beach guy and working in the area as a high school, you know, teacher, coach and all the rest, you know, I met a lot of good people in the area. But, you know, to get into a position like this one and just find these other people in anywhere, you know, that are in the same priorities, the same motivation, the same dedication to, you know, to giving back to young people and giving them opportunities to grow and learn. It's pretty inspiring to drive down a freeway and go, oh, well, that's one of our schools, and I know somebody there, or that's one of our schools, or that's one of our schools, and really understand that, you know, there's great people all over who do great things. And I don't think you can get that unless you're, you know, fortunate enough to be in a spot like I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. Visiting with the commissioner of the CIF Southern Section, Rob Weigod, here on Catholic Sports View. You mentioned your predecessors, and of course you worked under Dr. James Staunton. Before that was Dean Crowley, Stan Thomas before him. So a lot of good leadership has come through the Southern Section. What did you learn from your predecessors that made it maybe more comfortable to slide into the position when it was time for you to take the job?
Well, there's only been, I'm the ninth commissioner, and our organization's in its 104th year.
Right.
So being the ninth guy with only eight others that have ever had this job, I mean, it's overwhelming. I mean, to think about the tradition and the history of the organization. You might enjoy that every year since I became commissioner, I have the annual commissioner's lunch. And I'm very fortunate that Tom Burns, Ray Pletko, Dean Crowley, Jim Staunton, myself. So of the nine of us from the very start, five of us are still out there together. And we go to lunch every year in January. And, you know, it's a special group. I mean, no one can understand it as well as the gentlemen that are kind enough and supportive enough, you know, to get together with me. Beyond that, I mean, I'm in contact with all of them, different times, different things. You know, some of them still help us and work with us in various events and things that we do. They're incredible mentors, good friends, guys that really understand what this is. And they've instilled in me, you know, the tremendous responsibility that I have, which is to keep us going and to keep us advancing forward, keep progressing, you know, keep looking for better ways to do what we do. You know, I'm a lucky guy. I'm very lucky. They had a lot of vision. And they had a lot of hard work and effort, you know, to put us and put this organization in the place that it is. So we owe them a lot for what they've done. Huge responsibility. I take it very seriously.
Do you feel like your story is a special one? Because, you know, you really worked your way up from being a coach in the Long Beach area, certainly at Los Alamitos, where a lot of people probably got to first know your name on a bigger scale. And then to go into the office as an assistant commissioner and work your way into the commissioner spot. You know, you don't just become the commissioner overnight, right? I mean, a lot of work and a lot of time went into learning the ins and outs of this section for you to be able to, I would assume, comfortably say, yeah, this is a job that I want to tackle.
Well, sure. And, you know, being a football player at Long Beach Wilson High School as a student, do you think for one second I thought I was going to be the commissioner of the Southern section? I mean, of course not. But I think that I do have, I think, something that resonates with people in that, you know, I have been at each step along the way. You know, I have been an assistant coach, a head coach, a social studies teacher, an athletic director, an assistant commissioner, a commissioner. I have been in all of those roles. And by going through those different experiences, certainly I take with me what I learned and what I, you know, wanted to do in those roles. And so, I think that's something that I know, you know, has served me well to have the understanding of each one of those particular, jobs, if you want to call them that. Or, you know, I was never a famous athlete. I was never going to be a college athlete. I knew that. I wasn't a coach who won 500 games and 10 championships. You know, I always, you know, I'm just a regular guy. But high school athletics changed my life, and it provided those memories and experiences that I knew that's something I wanted to still be part of. And so not being good enough to keep playing athletics in college or whatever, when I became a coach at 19 at my former high school, and I went back to start working as a coach, assistant football coach, as I was in college at the time, you know, I realized so quickly that first day that, you know, this is what I want to do. This substitutes the playing days. This substitutes what I missed about the sports experiences I had. And, you know, I've never missed a season since. I mean, I've been in one of the positions I mentioned earlier since I was 19 years old, and high school sports has been my life, and it's been something that I just really think is special. And so, you know, that's kind of my story that way. I'm not a guy that, you know, achieved a lot of notoriety, you know, for my experiences myself, but I think being that kind of person maybe gives me a broader picture, you know, here. Sometimes our focus, and a lot of times, you know, parents will talk or newspaper folks or others, you know, it's all about college scholarships or professional contracts and that's really not who the Southern Section is. We're looking at 400,000 student athletes out there in 24 sports for boys and girls, and a lot of those students will never play beyond high school, like me. They'll never go on beyond high school. So, you know, we're really focused on this incredibly large number of young people that we get a chance to make an impact on. And certainly we're proud of those that go on to college and goes to the professional and the Olympics. And our section is an incredible tradition and history of some of the greatest names that have ever been in the United States of America. But it's not really at the heart of who we are. We're a much more broad-based educational organization. And so that's the thing. I think maybe a guy like me that, you know, wasn't the superstar maybe just has a little bit better appreciation sometimes of what the high school thing is about.
Rob Wygod, the commissioner of the Southern Section, taking a couple of moments to visit with us here on Catholic Sports View. You just mentioned, you led me right into my next question. You mentioned, you know, all the athletes. One thing I like about what the Southern Section did a couple of years ago is you not only did you celebrate your 100th anniversary, you guys really did it up. I mean, yeah, there was a list of the 100 greatest players in history. There was a big gala. There was just stuff going on all over the section to celebrate it. How important is it to celebrate the history of your right, of well, maybe the most storied section in the United States?
Well, I was a history major. You know, I got my bachelor's degree in history. So you talk about feeling responsibility. I mean, you know, it happened to be my second year as commissioner, and here was our 100th anniversary celebration. Right. And the responsibility that I felt to honor this organization and what it stood for, and all the people that had contributed to the 100 years of what this organization achieved, you know, was that an overwhelming responsibility? And I appreciate what you said about how we went about it. I mean, I think we tried very, very hard to really, you know, give it what it was due. Putting that 100 list of athletes together was, I mean, wow.
Right? Having to narrow it down wasn't that easy, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh my goodness. I mean, we started out with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of names and had a great committee of people that helped us. And, you know, and then when you look at that list, I mean, sure, it is some of the greatest that have ever, you know, been in the United States of America. So, yeah, and then we did want to do something. We were very fortunate, you know, because of our relationship with Fox Sports West, that they did a great job of producing a television program for us and working on that part too. And so, yeah, I mean, it was pretty special. And you know, I think of many things that, you know, I've been able to be part of, I can't imagine being more proud of one thing. You know, that was very, very exciting for me and something I was really proud of, because I feel that we were able to try to capture, you know, the essence of this organization, its tradition, and honor it in a very respectful and meaningful way that really, hopefully, people took away from, you know, wow, a lot has gone on, a lot's happened, and this is something to celebrate. So, we, you know, we're really happy with that.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. We'll visit more with Rob Wygod when we come back. Stay with us. Here on Immaculate Heart Radio, I'm Bob Gibson, and we're visiting with the commissioner of the CIF Southern Section, and that is Rob Wygod. There's 10 sections in the CIF, and as we mentioned in our earlier segment, the Southern Section is by far the biggest. Do you feel a certain responsibility, pressure, I don't know if that's the right word, as maybe the leader of these 10 sections in the state of California?
Well, I do believe that we're a leader, and I think that's due to a lot of the work that's been done. You know, a lot of folks may not realize that the rules that govern our organization are actually made by the member schools in the organization, not by me or anybody else who works for the organization. But, you know, I think we have been a leader. I think we've done a lot of things that I know in our competitive equity playoffs that we are you know, working through right now. I've had Louisiana, I've had Wisconsin, I've had Nebraska. I mean, I've had states around the country have contacted us to find out what we're doing. I think around the state, I've got great relationships with the other commissioners, with those that work in the state office in Sacramento. There is a lot of help that we can offer because of the size of our section and the number of different things that we, you know, that present themselves in our particular section, that we can, you know, fill that role. And we are leaders. I really truly believe that we are. And that gets reinforced a little bit when you go around to, we had a conference of all the Western states, 11 Western states, that was in September. You know, when we come to those kinds of meetings and so forth, you know, you start discussing what everybody's doing around these different states, and you find that we're ahead in a lot of different things. We're ahead in a lot of areas in the technology part of this business and what we've been doing in respect of the way that we're communicating and the way we're, you know, going through the processes and the things that we need to do and the business we conduct with our schools. I'm proud of what we do. I'm proud of how our organization's functioning and the services we're providing for our membership. And so because of that, you know, certainly we would be happy to share what we do with others and hope that they could see some things that we're doing that could help them.
You know, obviously what you do is not without controversy at times. You know, the transfer rules always seem to be something that's in play and talked about. It always makes good fodder for us in the media, certainly. I feel like that now there's sort of a good hold on what these rules are. And I think there's an equitable way to kind of handle it now. But I feel like there's more direction now in what is an okay transfer. Maybe, you know, what is not?
Well, I think statewide, the CIF, I think we've taken some steps that have really, you know, people, and sometimes in the media or whatever, others, they believe that the role would be to reduce the number of transfers or we should have bylaws that really strictly limit and reduce transfer numbers. Well, there's a couple thoughts there real quick. I mean, in a state like California and with legislatures and courts and others that you know, pay attention to what's happening with us as a high school sports organization, that's difficult. You know, what we might like to do as an organization doesn't necessarily fit with where legislators are, you know, those who authorize us to do this job. So we have to always kind of keep that in mind. I mean, that's present. But in terms of it, then, you know, we're really looking at the best ways to manage, you know, a reality, which is that, you know, parents and students will choose to transfer schools. They will choose to go to a different school where they think it's going to be a better situation. So, you know, with that as a reality, you know, how could we best be consistent, be fair, apply relevant bylaws to that process, you know, allow for those who have legitimate reasons, legitimate family changes and moves of residence and things that, you know, result in a student transferring schools, along with those who just say, you know, it didn't work well for me on the baseball team at school A, and I want to go to school B because maybe I have a better chance to play baseball at school B. I think we have to keep all of those in mind, you know, in terms of how the bylaws apply. And again, you know, do our best to manage it, to make it understandable and to work through it with consistency and fairness. I just want to say very quickly, Bob, you know, there's a sense sometimes that there's this huge number of transfers that take place, and we get a lot of information from the state CIF because they track this and control it. We have approximately 800,000 student-athletes in the state, statewide, and of that number, about 15,000 transferred schools last year. 15,000, and that translates to less than 2%.
Yeah, that's really a small number when you look at it. You're absolutely
right.
Yeah,
and I don't know that people always realize that because obviously they read about it or they hear about high-profile cases or things like that. But when you're talking about an 800,000 student pool and only, you know, not only, but less than 2% are actually changing schools in a particular school year, and of those less than 2%, some of those 15,000, they're making valid moves. I mean, a student and their family, dad, mom gets a new job, and the family moves. Well, then that student is transferring schools, but, you know, that's because of a new job in a new city. So I think, you know, 15,000 is a lot. Our section gets approximately 6,500 to 7,000 a year. It's less than 1 in 10 and even less than, you know, 0.2 of 10. So it's pretty low.
And I think some of that, too, stems from the public versus private school thing, which you know full well. You know, the public school, the neighborhood school is always going to say, hey, so-and-so private schools is trying to raid our players over here. But,
yes.
You know,
a
kid has every right to go get a private education as well as, you know, staying in their neighborhood and getting their public education.
That is correct. And you know, you'd be interested, Bob, if you ever saw some of the numbers. It's not always that perception. We have plenty of public schools that have a lot of transfers in and transfers out. You know, I could go through plenty of schools, whether they're public, private, in whatever direction, those transfers are everywhere. They're not just confined to, well, you know, all the neighborhood public schools lose students to private schools. We've got, I always offer the private schools probably lose more transfers than they get.
That could very well be. You're absolutely right.
I think there's no question. Private schools actually, you know, probably end up having more students that transfer out versus that transfer in. You know, and there's reasons for it. I mean, again, you know, there's other factors at play. But I will tell you, it's not a public-private issue so much. The rules are the same for public and private schools. And I won't tell you that there's a higher number of public or private schools that have more transfers than others. The numbers don't dictate that.
Visiting with Rob Wygod, he's the commissioner of the CIF Southern Section, the ninth commissioner in the history that goes all the way back to 1913 when the section was first founded. Commissioner Wygod, one of
That's
our focuses
okay.
here on Catholic Sports View, we focus on the Trinity League a lot here. That's really one of the gems of the Southern Section, obviously, is the Trinity League. You have so much going on, you know, there's so many good schools going on, but that Trinity really is a gem of the Southern Section here.
Well, again, it stands for a lot of things. It stands for a very highly competitive group of schools that, you know, that competition takes place over a variety of sports, and they're very, very high-quality programs. I've been fortunate enough to work with all of the principals and athletic directors, and I know many of the coaches at the Trinity League schools. Great respect for the jobs they do. I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the Trinity League schools. I think the coaches are under a tremendous amount of pressure. The leadership and administrations are very, very high expectations. I don't think they see themselves as better than anybody else. I think they see themselves as a group of schools that work well together. And they want to be an example of how to do it right and how to be competitive and how to do it, you know, respecting sportsmanship and ethics and character and all the other things that we really do want people to know that are part of this high school athletic experience. It's not just winning and losing. It's about how to conduct yourself the right way and how to be a good person of character. So I'd like to, you know, in my experiences with the group, I think they definitely subscribe to those ideals as well.
we're not too far removed from one of your very busy seasons, and that is the chance to put together the playoff groupings for all the fall sports, which of course includes football, but not limited to just football. Plenty of other good sports that go on in the fall as well. But, you know, some changes were made in the last couple of years to try to bring more equity to playoffs. And I mentioned not just in football, but are you happy so far? Kind of the new rules are in place to try to bring more equity to the postseason?
Well, we really are. I think this was a long time in you know, formulation and getting it put together, and certainly a lot of education and working with our schools and our membership to get everyone to see what, you know, what we were really trying to do here, which was to give as many schools as possible the opportunity to compete. The competition is tighter. The expectation of who is going to emerge from any particular contest is kind of now a little bit more in question, whereas sometimes, you know, you could look at a bracket and say, boy, I can pretty much tell you how this one's going to play out. You know, we were seeing that. And like I said, I think we're going to get a lot more of an indication at the end of this week once we begin with the boys' water polo and the football. I think we'll start to see some more data for us to take a look at what we really do expect.
Closing moments here with CIF Southern Section Commissioner Rob Weigott. I couldn't let you go without asking this question. You're a baseball guy. I'm a baseball guy. Are we ever going to see a state championship in the sport of baseball?
It's been in discussions. It's on the discussion stage. Obviously, the biggest issue of trying to go forward with anything like that, it first would come forward in a regional format.
Sure.
It was going to happen first. It would be regional, north and south. Obviously, it's calendar. It's just a matter of, is there a way that something like that could be accomplished without playing into the middle of July?
Because it's the end of the school year, right?
Exactly. So, you know, there are some changes. You know, a lot of our schools are starting earlier. The sports calendars are going to start shifting. They're all going to start moving forward. Our sports calendars are going to do the same. So, yeah, I mean, potentially, you know, it could be out there. I think we'd love to see it. I just know that the very first question anybody would have is, well, if you're finishing Southern Section Championships on June 5th, you know, the first Saturday in June, how many more weeks are you going to need to do a regional and state baseball championship? You know, are you going to be playing on June 26th? And obviously, schools would have been out for well over a month, and I'm not sure that that's the kind of environment that our schools and even our student-athletes and their families, I mean, that's just,
right.
By the time school is over, I think we all understand we probably should have high school athletics be over as well.
Right, exactly.
So we got some work to do, you know, specifically on that calendar issue if we're ever going to get that conversation off the ground.
Final question for you, and we'll let you go. We appreciate your time here on Catholic Sports View. We mentioned you're in your sixth year. What else is on your list when you'd like to kind of wrap up your career as the commissioner? You're a young man. You probably got 10 or 15 more years to go if you wanted to do this, but are there some other things you have on your list that you'd like to get accomplished while you're still in the position?
Well, sure. I mean, there's never been a day that I've been here where I haven't thought to myself, you know, what is it that we can do that we're doing now that we can do better? Certainly, our focus in the immediate short term is this competitive playoff model. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got, this is a starting point. We've been saying very clearly, this thing it's going to breathe. I mean, this isn't what we're doing today. Is going to continue to evolve. We're going to tweak it. We're going to get better. This is, I think, one of the most significant changes this organization's had in its 104-year history. I mean, this is a completely different way of doing business, but yet we think it's so fair and gives so many more student-athletes and schools an opportunity that, you know, that's something that we're just really excited about evolving and growing. And so that's going to be a focus here definitely in the next few years.
Commissioner Rob Weigott, we appreciate the job you've done and continue to do. Thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Bob, you're welcome. It's been my pleasure, and I'll look forward to talking with you anytime.
Thanks again for joining us here this week on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. I want to thank my guest, Don Barbara, and of course, the commissioner of the CIF Southern Section, Rob Weigott. If you want to catch this show or any of the others we have here on Catholic Sports View, you can simply go to OCCatholic.com/radio, and you can catch all the podcasts listed right there on the Catholic Sports View page. My name is Bob Gibson. We thank you for spending the last hour with us right here on Immaculate Heart Radio.